Hey guys, thanks so much for listening to today's teaching from The Grove at Champion Forest. We pray this message helps you grow in your love for God and His Word.
Man, if you don't know me, my name is Jaden. I'm a young adult resident here at Champion Forest, and I am humbled to have the opportunity to speak to you tonight. Man, we've been walking through this series in Mark. I know some of y'all are probably in this room like, man, we've been in this series for a long time. But I've loved this series, walking through the Gospel of Mark. And if you're in this room, I'm not going to assume that you know who Mark is, but John Mark is his full name. And Mark is the writer of the gospel that bears his name. That word gospel just means good news. It's the good news according to Mark. And the significance of Mark is that Peter, who was a disciple of the Lord Jesus, actually in 1 Peter 5:13 describes Mark as a spiritual son. And this is important because a lot of Mark's writings are completely different than Matthew, than Luke, and John. Different not meaning contradictory. Please hear me say that. They do not contradict each other, but some of the stories, specifically this one, is only in Mark's gospel. And so tonight, our text in Mark chapter 7, verse 31 through 37, is going to answer a very powerful question. A question that, if I could be so bold to say, that your life and my life, whether you believe it or not, hinges on, dare I say, the fate of the entire world. And that question is Jesus the Messiah? Is Jesus the Messiah? Now, some of you might be in this room and you've grown up in church, or you've grown up around church, and you're looking at this question and you're like, come on, bro. Like, can we be for real? But I want us to have a heart posture of humility to really kind of lean into this question a little bit. So Mark chapter 7, verse 31 through 37, starting in 31, says this: then he, meaning Jesus, returned from the region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment. And they begged him to lay his hand on him. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers into his ears, and after spitting, touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And his ears were opened, and his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. And Jesus charged them to tell no one. But the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, he has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak.
My goodness.
Man, this text is so powerful to me. Last week, if you were here, Pastor Emery spoke on the Syrophoenician woman who had faith for her daughter who had an unclean spirit to be healed. And in the six verses before verse 31, we see that verse 24 says that, and from there he arose and went away to the region of Tyre and Sidon, right? And honestly, reading verse 31, you might miss a lot of the context of this text and the importance of why Mark puts this detail in the text. And so I have a map for you guys to kind of understand what's going on here. And so it says, the scripture says, then he returned from the region of Tyre and went through Sidon. Now, Mark does this thing sometimes in his gospel where he doesn't really give details about certain things. Like, this is a very vague description of the way that Jesus traveled. But it says that he went through Sidon into the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. And so on the screen, you're gonna see the green represents the Jewish region, and the tan, the outside, represents the Gentile region. And so he heals this that Syrophoenician woman in Tyre. And so Jesus goes from Tyre up to Sidon. And like I said, Mark is very vague. It doesn't necessarily mean he went through the city, but he was just in the surrounding area. But then, this is crazy. You can literally see the mountain ranges that are around this area. So Jesus is not just walking through some flat plains. Like, he's walking through mountains. And so Jesus goes from the region of Sidon and goes through this Jewish region, around the Sea of Galilee, walks around the Sea of Galilee to the Decapolis. And so you might just be like, bro, why didn't he just go straight from Tyre through Galilee to the Decapolis? That doesn't make sense. Like, he just made the trip so much harder for himself. But if you were here 2 weeks ago when Pastor Cal taught specifically on what defiles a person. When Jesus was in Gennesaret, after he walked on water, these Pharisees are challenging him. And it's really powerful to see that Jesus is bypassing the Jewish region intentionally. Like, he's doing it for a reason. And so Jesus bypasses Capernaum, Bethsaida, goes around the Sea of Galilee to the Decapolis. And this is powerful because Jesus goes from Gentile region to Gentile region intentionally. And what that means and what that is revealing is that Jesus' message was for all people. It was not just for some people. It was not just for Jewish people, for God's chosen people. It was also for the Gentiles. And as Revelation 6:9 says, people from every tribe and every nation and every language. So the gospel was for all people. And in the next verse, verse 32, it says, and they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment. They brought to him. This is a group of people that brought this man to Jesus. And it said that he was deaf and had a speech impediment. Those two words in the Greek means to speak with difficulty. But also in the Old Testament, the word is also related to mute. But specifically, we're just going to focus on speaking with difficulty. Now, in this day and age, if someone was blind from birth, was deaf, was lame, paralyzed, during this era, people, specifically Jewish people, would believe that this person's parents committed some egregious sin that now their children are being punished for. Which, me hearing that right now, that's crazy. Now, I'm not watering down the consequences of sin, because that is real. There are consequences for your sin. But this was something that, man, they shamed these people. These people were outcasts. People wanted nothing to do with people who were deaf, were blind, were lame. And so Matthew's account of this very story gives us a little bit of context of what's going on here. And so in Matthew chapter 15, verse 29 through 30, it says that Jesus went on from there. This is the same account coming from the Syrophoenician woman. Jesus went on from there and walked beside the Sea of Galilee, like I just said. And he went up on the mountain and sat down there. And great crowds came to him, bringing with them the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others. And they put them at his feet, and he healed them. There was a great crowd around Jesus. A great crowd. And what I want us to look at specifically in verse 33 is maybe one of the most important parts of this text. It says, and taking him aside from the crowd privately. Stop right there. Oh my gosh. When I was reading this, I was struck by this sentence. Because this crowd is around Jesus, and Jesus intentionally chooses to remove this man out from the crowd and still heals him. And the reason that's so powerful is because Jesus did not want to stir the crowd up just merely with this healing. Because if Jesus would have healed this man in this crowd of some thousand people, it would have been an uproar. So we see the humility of Jesus by taking this man aside from the crowd. It's honestly, man, I'm thinking of the scripture in Matthew chapter 6 where Jesus says, beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be seen by others. And bro, we do this all the time. Like seriously, I've done this. We'll post something on social media or we'll post our quiet time and this, that, and the other, and our heart actually, the motive of that was for other people to see it. Or you got, and bro, this grieves my heart, man. But you have people who will only share the gospel if a camera's on them. Like, they needed the whole world to know, hey, man, look at me. Like, I was obedient to God. Like, look at me. Man, beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be seen by others. Jesus says, for you have no reward. You have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. So you've received your reward. But look at this, man. Look at what happens after Jesus takes this man aside from the crowd privately. It says this, and he put his fingers into his ears, and after spitting, touched his tongue, and looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. Now, when I read that Jesus put his fingers into this man's ears and spitting touched his tongue, half of you in this room tuned out. We're like, bro, that's disgusting, respectfully. That is nasty. Like, that's, I don't know about y'all, but I grew up in a school where, I mean, we're pretty much relatively around the same age in this room. But, you know, the desk that had, like, the wooden desk that had a little opening. I don't know if is this making sense to anybody? But, like, you would have people, like, put gum, like, underneath the desk. And you're, like, trying to get your stuff out of the desk, and all of a sudden, like, you touch some gum. Like, that is disgusting. That's nasty. Some of y'all probably did that in this room. No? No, okay. Man, I think it's really easy to look at this and be like, okay, that's kind of nasty. Like, why did Jesus have to spit and touch this man's tongue? Like, that's kind of, it's a little weird. But if you study cultural context about healers in this day, specifically Hellenistic, Gentile healers, this practice was normal. It wasn't grotesque. It wasn't repulsive. But remember, this man is deaf and he has a speech impediment. So number one, if Jesus says a word to him, he can't hear it. And number two, if Jesus says something to him, this man isn't going to answer back in a way that is understandable. So by Jesus putting his fingers into this man's ears and spitting, touching his tongue, he was communicating to this man his desire to heal him. He was telling this man, hey, you're not going to have to, you're not going to have to struggle with these deaf ears any longer. You're not going to have to struggle with getting words out of your mouth any longer. I am here to heal you. But I want us to pay attention to specifically verse 34. There's three powerful principles in this verse. The first one is he looked to heaven. He looked to heaven. This was Jesus expressing and showing dependence on the Father. John 8, verse 28 through 29 says this. Jesus said to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he. Jesus is talking about how he's going to be crucified. That I am he, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. Man, Jesus was completely dependent, completely submitted, willingly to the Father. And I'm convicted in this moment that, man, if Jesus, who is fully God, who is fully God, God in the flesh, who could speak a word and someone would be healed, if Jesus was fully dependent, willingly submitted to the Father, what makes me think that I don't need to be? Like, what would ever make me think that I could do anything on my own? As the scripture says in John 15, apart from me, you can do nothing. So what makes me think that I don't need to be dependent on the Father? And we don't merely just show this in words. We show this in action. If you're dependent on the Father, your actions are going to reflect your dependence on the Father. Second principle, he sighed. He sighed. Now, at first glance, this might just seem like a little detail, like, okay, he sighed. Maybe Jesus was just taking a deep breath. I mean, man, some of us need to do that when we drive, like, for real. That's me. But y'all don't take a deep breath. You'll just let the person have it, even though they can't hear you when you're in your car. But Jesus, he sighed. Man, pay attention to this. This is powerful. Jesus sighing was not just him taking a deep breath. Mark's not going to put anything in this writing that is not important. Jesus sighing is Jesus expressing deep compassion for this man. It's Jesus expressing his disdain for the sinful, broken world that caused this man's present reality. Scripture says in Isaiah that Jesus was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. It was ultimately this very brokenness that Jesus came to lay his life down for. So Jesus sighed, expressing deep compassion for this man. Lastly, he spoke. He spoke. He said, Ephatha, be opened. That word, Ephatha, is Aramaic. This is the language that Jesus spoke. Man, this is Jesus revealing how he has all power and authority over sickness. All power and authority over everything in this world, that at his word, seas go still. That as at his word, the blind see. At his word, deaf ears are opened. At his word, the mute speak. At his word, anxiety leaves. At his word, man, depression leaves. At his word, everything changes. Man, I remember when I first came to know Jesus. I was baptized when I was little. I did not understand the gospel when I got baptized, because my life showed that I did not understand the gospel. I remember. I don't even remember who this pastor was. I don't remember what the message was about. I remember one thing. When I was 16 years old, at a summer camp, going to my junior year of high school, this verse was slapped on the screen. 2 Corinthians 5:17, which says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." And I remember where I was in the room, I wept. I was crying my eyes out. I could not tell you what that message was about. I have no idea. But God revealed his word to me. Just his word. And I remember in a moment, the gospel hit my heart. And I could not stop crying in that room. My leader came up to me and asked me, "Man, why are you crying?" I'm like, "Man, I don't know. I think Jesus is revealing himself to me. I can't stop crying." At his word, man. There's nothing more powerful than his word. Amen. That's why I want to encourage you to read this, to know this, because I don't think we can be so naive to just think that we're going to keep going in and out of our building week to week, year after year after year after year. Like, bro, Christianity is about to get real for some of us. Like, for real. And we need to have enough of this word in us to be able to contend for the faith. Verse 36 says, "And Jesus charged them to tell no one. But the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it." Like I said, we see the humility of Jesus here. He was not focused merely on this healing. In Mark chapter 2, Jesus heals this paralytic man. His friends drop him through the roof of this house. Man, that's faith. And the first thing that Jesus says to this man was, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Man, that is powerful. And these Pharisees are all of a sudden just like, "Man, who the heck does this guy think he is? Who's this that speaks blasphemies?" And Jesus said, "Is it easier to say that your sins are forgiven or rise, pick up your mat and walk?" And this man walked. Powerful scripture. And there was a crowd in that area. But then Jesus heals the man of leprosy. And he specifically told him, "Do not tell anyone. Do not tell anyone." But then this man goes about telling everybody he knows about Jesus, about what happened. And the scripture says that Jesus could no longer enter a town openly. But he went to desolate places and people came to him. And this is important because Jesus did not want to be known among this people as just some Hellenistic healer. He did not want to be known as just somebody who you can come to, who can fix your problems. He did not want to be known as someone that you could just merely ask for his hand to give you something. Jesus came preaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, turn from your sin, and believe in me. That's what Jesus came. That's what Jesus came to preach. And look at verse 37. It says, and they were astonished beyond measure, saying, he has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. They were astonished beyond measure. Them saying he has done all things well goes back. He's using the language of Genesis 1, 31, where God made man in his image. Male and female, he created them. And God looked at what he created and said, man, this is very good. This scripture right here is revealing Jesus is God. This goes back to the very creation of the heavens and the earth and us. He does all things well, not some things well, all things well. And then this is so powerful. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. It's two very important words. He even makes the deaf hear. Family, there is no one else in all creation that makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. That's why this was so astonishing. There is no other healer that can make deaf ears open and a mute tongue speak. And this is the answer to our question tonight. Is Jesus the Messiah? And I'm going to show you. Isaiah 35, verse 6 says this. This is Isaiah prophesying about Jesus. It says, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. And man, even in Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2, it says, the Spirit of the Lord God, which Jesus repeats this word for word, in Luke, he says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Man, let that comfort you tonight. To proclaim liberty to the captives. If you're in bondage to sin tonight, let that give you hope. To proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Now this man that we read about, that we learned about, that was healed, deaf ears, speech impediment. Experienced freedom to the point where they had never seen anything like this before. They could not contain it. They couldn't help but talk about it. But man, maybe you're in this room right now and you have been walking through a situation for months, years. A family member has cancer. A friend of yours is sick. Or maybe you're in this room and man, you've been dealing with anxiety like crazy. You've been overwhelmed with depression. That was me. Jesus came specifically to preach good news to the poor. That's not saying poor materially. People who are poor in spirit. And man, I just want to encourage someone in this room that it can be so easy, and you hear the world saying it all the time, man, if God was so good, if Jesus really is the Messiah, why is my friend going through this? Man, if God really is good, why is my family member sick, has a terminal illness? Man, if God is really good, why did this tragic thing happen? And the truth is that God did not make these things happen. But the truth is that we live in a broken, sinful world. That Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and Eve sinned against God, rebelled against God, the scripture says the earth was cursed. And now all of us, descendants of Adam and Eve, we were born into sin, shaping in iniquity. And we talked about it a second ago. This is the reason why Jesus sighed right before he healed this man. Because of the brokenness of this world, the sin that's in this world. But ultimately, man, I want to encourage somebody in this room who's been going through suffering, who's been going through trial, after tribulation. Man, I wholeheartedly believe that God is entrusting you with dealing with this suffering. Because the scripture in Romans chapter 5, this is one of my favorite verses, Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4, it says, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. And endurance produces character. And character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame. Man, I pray that comforts you. That you would know that Jesus is your living hope. That as the scripture says, man, he has gone. If you are a believer in Christ, he has gone to prepare a place for you. That in that place there will be no sickness, no mourning, no crying, nor death, nor cancer, nor anxiety, nor depression, nor suicidal thoughts. You name it, it will not be there. And man, I just want to encourage you. If you've been walking through this thing for a long time, I want you to hear my voice. I wholeheartedly believe that God can heal you. Scripture says, is anything too hard for the Lord? That God can heal this person. But please hear me. If in this life, for some reason that God knows, he does not choose to do this, will Christ be enough for you? Like, will he be enough for you? Because that is not God's ultimate plan for healing. God's ultimate plan for healing is heaven. That's why Jesus, if Jesus could deal with spiritual need, he knows that he's already taken care of physical maladies. He's already taken care of all these things. And so, man, as the band comes back up, man, this is what I want to leave you with tonight from this text. Who do you say Jesus is? Who do you say he is? Is Jesus just someone who can cater to your every need? That you want to give you this house and this career and this job, and that's all your prayers are? Man, God, please give me this. God, please give me that. As if Jesus exists for you, who do you say Jesus is? Because your life depends on the answer to this question. Secondly, how does your life currently reflect your view of Christ? Man, look at your life. Examine it right now. Let the Holy Spirit, as Pastor Emery said, let the Holy Spirit grade your paper. Look at your life. Does your view of Christ, is it reflected in your life? If not, man, I'm gonna just be so honest. In this season, I have grieved because when the gospel is preached, merely just people hearing that Jesus loves them, died for them, rose from the grave, giving them the gift of eternal life, died the death that they rightfully deserved for their sin. Man, even right now, we're in this room and that does not move anything in your heart. Like the gospel has grown cold to you. And it's my prayer in this season to the Lord, man, God, keep me near the cross. Like, man, keep me near the cross where my sin was laid on him and my debt was paid for my sin. Keep me near the cross. So, man, if you're in this room and you have never accepted Jesus, confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to encourage you right now. God is choosing to reveal himself to you through the message of the good news of Jesus Christ. Truth number one, you are in need of a Savior, whether you see it right now or not. Man, nobody had to teach you as a little kid to sin, to hit somebody when you were angry. Nobody had to teach you that.
because you and I have sin. But man, if you are in this room, you were created in the image of Almighty God. And right now, Jesus is reaching his hand out to you. Will you reject him? Or will you accept him? Man, Jesus wants a relationship with you. Jesus wants to free you from that thing that you're in bondage to. There's not going to be anything else in this world that will satisfy your heart. You're going to search, and you will come up empty. But I want to encourage you tonight, if you have heard this message that Jesus is the Messiah, yes is the answer to that question. That word Messiah means anointed one, Savior. But a lot of us in here, we might call Jesus Savior, but he is not Lord. If Jesus is going to be Savior, he has to be Lord. There is no separate. There is no, I'm just going to do my thing. Man, I'm going to come to the Grove on Tuesday. I'm going to go on church on Sunday. But when you stand before God, you're either going to know Jesus or you will not have known Jesus. And I do not want you to be misinformed as if that day is just so far out in the future. Man, it can happen at any moment. God forbid, your life could end at any moment. And once that happens, man, your fate is sealed. There is no going back. So if you're in this room, you've never accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Man, I just want to encourage you right now in this room. Do not wait. Don't wait. Because you do not know when time is going to run out for you.
Thanks again for listening to today's teaching from The Grove. Be sure and follow us on Instagram at @TheGrove_CF. If you're a young adult in Northwest Houston, we'd love to connect with you on Tuesday nights and Sunday mornings. We hope to see you soon.